Okay, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'm Michael McKenzie. I'm an alcoholic. Also a drug addict. Suffer from alcoholic style addiction to many things, process addictions. Quite a few things going on with me. I should probably use my whole 20 minutes explaining those, so suffice it to say, I don't do anything that grants me escape from the intolerable situation of living on a non-spiritual basis in moderation. I'm gonna start off by inviting my higher power to show up here with me, this power that I've come into contact with through working the steps, living on a spiritual basis, for doing my best version of that for the last 35 years, to be here with me, to guide me, to help direct my attention to what would be productive for us together. If you have a relationship with power like that, you got here working the steps or some other way, wherever that came from, I invite you to bring that power along with you here too. I know that what I say and what you hear have very little to do with each other. But the only way we can actually be productive with each other is for the power that I'm connected to and the power that you're connected to help us to be useful to each other. Whew. Okay, so I'm going to read this paragraph. I dared people in a meeting yesterday to pick this as a topic whenever they're speaking at a meeting, so I'm going to do it myself. Now and then a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, says I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. We know our friend is like a boy, whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he'd give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. Someday, he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. So you guys are familiar with BBA work, right? Like, this is a BBA meeting, I heard in the format. So page 52 in the Bedevilments is where I look at unmanageability, right? And I was told when I went through that work, it's page 151, case, yeah, 151, 152, someone's asking in the chat. I was just giving a talk in a workshop that I'm running about unmanageability, and we were on page 52, and I woke up in the morning with this powerful impression of this page, and I was like, this is the description of untreated alcoholism, right? This is something else, right? And then the page before, it talks about the four horsemen: terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair, right? And I was in touch with, like, that's what untreated alcoholism looks like for me, right? Untreated alcoholic addiction to anything. And alcoholic style addiction, like, it's a term that I use these days. So I work with a lot of people that are non-alcoholics. I appreciate this. This is a all addictions kind of meeting, right? Like, I spend a lot of time working with people who are alcoholics. I happen to be. But I found deep into my sobriety, my sobriety date's November 18th, 1986. So I've been active working in the 12-step program from that time. I finished my first set of amends in 1987. I've been working out of the big book Alcoholics Anonymous for 35 years. I work consistently with other people. I sponsor people as an ongoing way of living. But a major shift in my sobriety happened 15 years ago, when I was 20 years sober, and kind of this paragraph is describing what happened to me when I was 20 years sober. And informs the truth about what it means to me to live on a non-spiritual basis, whether I'm practicing the particular addictions that brought me in to the 12-step life or not. living on a non-spiritual basis is an intolerable situation, which brings me into a condition of terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair, and brings me to a place of loneliness that is indescribably horrible to me. I was worse off when I was 20 years sober, trying to live on a non-spiritual basis with things going better in my life on the outside than they've ever been, than I ever was when I was drinking. And I was at this place where I was at the jumping off point, and it really changed my impression of what living on a spiritual basis meant and what was going to be required of me in order to survive the condition that I had, and had very little or nothing to do with whether I was drinking or not. I'll jump back and give some definitions of things that are important here for me. So alcoholic, right? Like, it's talking about alcoholism. And I've often had the definition of alcoholic as someone who, once they start drinking, can't stop drinking. And once they decide to stop drinking on their own, can't stop on a non-spiritual basis, right? Like, that's kind of a definition a lot of people use. Once I start, I can't stop. Once I decide to stop on my own, I can't stay stopped. That's a great definition. It worked very well for me for a lot of years. I picked up a new definition of alcoholic from page 25 in the big book, right? Page 25 says, if you were alcoholic, as some of us were, we had only two alternatives: to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation, or to accept spiritual help. It's repeated again in the first page of We Agnostics. It says to die an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, right? Like, gives us this, these two choice things, right? Like, there's only two choices. I'm either going to live on a spiritual basis or I'm going to die an alcoholic style death. Having gone through the first step and seeing that once I start doing something, I can't stop doing it. And then when I decide to stop on my own, I can't stop. That truth brings me to the final definition for me of alcoholic, which is someone who has only these choices. Someone who suffers from alcoholic style addiction to anything. And I'm that. And the thing that was very clear to me when I was 20 years sober, well, wasn't that clear to me, but it started to become clear to me. And I realized what was going on in my life was that I was trying desperately to find a third choice. I wanted desperately for there to be a third choice. I needed for there to be a third choice. I did not believe in living on a spiritual basis would solve all of my problems. I did not have the level of faith and connection to a power in my life to be able to rely on that power to solve my day-to-day problems. I didn't actually know how to bring that power into many areas of my life, most of which had come into existence in my consciousness and in my life after I had gotten sober. Right after I had stopped doing the major things that were my major addictions, right after I kind of like was already recovered, I became a father, I became a businessman, I became a husband, I had all of these new roles and responsibilities, and how to bring those things, how to bring trusting the universe with those things into those areas of my life was not something that I knew how to do or had any context for or understand it at all. The people that I was hanging out with in 12-step programs were talking about not drinking and not doing drugs and kind of being a reasonably decent human being. And I was doing all of that. And I was also trying to manage my life under my own power. And I had things going on in my life that I was trying to manage and control myself in a way that I didn't see any choice about. I didn't know that there was any other way to live than that. And ultimately that was killing me. And I was finding myself living in a world that was intolerable for me. I was in the intolerable situation. Right? The intolerable situation for me is playing God in my life. And I didn't even know what playing God meant. I thought playing God was somebody used an example that I like the Sorcerer's Apprentice trying to like conjure up the make things happen out in the world that I shouldn't be messing with, right? Like, that's kind of what I understood playing God to mean. But I found out that playing God meant making a life for myself that was safe, solving my own fear problems, manipulating circumstances and situations around me in a way so that I would be okay. I didn't know that was playing God. I thought that was my only choice as a human being, was to show up and try to do that. And if I didn't do it, I would have terrifying things happening to me all the time. And if I didn't take care of myself that way, nobody would. And so I needed to do those things to take care of myself. And it was my responsibility to make that happen. And then as I became a father and a husband and all of that, it was also my responsibility to take care of some other people. And kind of show up and make sure that things worked out well for them. And I wasn't able to stay connected to a power greater than myself in the way that's necessary for me to be reliably separated from alcohol or anything else when I was doing that. Right? Like I actually was like, I found these two choices, this thing, like the other two, like there's another place in the book which talks about God is everything or God is nothing. Either God is or isn't, right? Like that idea was something that was not present in my consciousness. I was not in a place where God either was or wasn't. I was in a place where God kind of was a little bit, right? Or, and generally speaking, I mean, I had started out with having God be almost everything and ended up in a place where God was almost nothing, right? Like more or less nothing, like this idea that, and fearlessly having to face the proposition that either God is or isn't and is everything or nothing was something that I had avoided as long as I could. And my ability to avoid that ended when I was 20 years sober. I was going to die an alcoholic style death sober. And I could no longer postpone or evade facing that proposition. That was something that happened to me then. And so, and this place that I found myself in was terrifying. And so I spent the last 15 years committed to working the program out of the book in a whole different way than I had been before that. Not that anything was wrong with the way that I did it before. It was very profound and changed my life and created a life I would have never been able to have any other way. But what happened after that is that I started showing up knowing that I needed God in my life on this day as much as I had ever needed God in my life. My need to live on a spiritual basis actually does not reduce over time. It gets worse. I need God more in my life now than I need God when I got here. I had an impression for some reason that it would get easier. I think people told me it would get easier. I think people told me kind of like there's a kind of, I don't know what kind of fellowships you're from or what kind of groups you're hanging out in, but in the groups I was hanging out with, it sounded like this was going to get easier as time went on. And that once I did a bunch of this, I was going to be like not needed as much, right? And I was going to be able to just kind of go on living my life and I wasn't going to be in need for this anymore. And that didn't turn out to be the case for me. Maybe the case for a lot of people. It's certainly not the case for me. What happened for me is that the things that got better in my life made it harder for me to live on a spiritual basis, not easier. I started being able to make a case for myself playing God in my life much more effectively than I had before. When I had gotten here, a defeated, kind of hopeless alcoholic, not able to live on people's couches and like living on the streets and getting arrested and all that stuff, it was a lot easier for me to accept that I needed to have a higher power in my life and that on my own, I was nothing. When I had a family and a business and a career and a, you know, people looking up at me and respect and 20 years of sobriety and all of that, there was a much better case to be made that I was good enough to play God in my life in a way that I could make a life for myself that would be reasonable. And I was suffering from the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of my life if I only managed well. And I thought that I had gotten enough to manage well from living on a spiritual basis. And it was very tricky because there were spiritual terms and reliance on God all mixed into my self-reliant idea that I was going to be able to create a life that worked for myself. And it sounded really good. And it looked like it was going to work. And it almost did. I was always just kind of this close to getting a life that worked. I was always really close to being able to do that. The problem was, is that I wasn't playing the role that God assigned me. I was playing the role that I had assigned myself in order to keep myself safe. And although that role is plausible and theory would work, it doesn't actually work for me because it's not who I am. And I wasn't playing the role that God had assigned me. And I was afraid. And I actually realized in inventory later on after doing this work that I was willing to accept any role in the universe except that one. The only role that I was absolutely not willing to play was the one that God had assigned me. I was willing to accept any other role because playing that role and suffering the pain and shame and upset and terror that had befallen me when I showed up in the world like that, I wasn't willing to do that. I was willing to do anything else. Any role I would play would be better than showing up like that because that was the one that had hurt me so much. And I was really not willing to do that. It took me a long time to figure that out. That information wasn't even available to my intellect. It wasn't something that my mind could have understood or wrapped its head around. This was an experiential process for me over many years of uncovering, discovering, discarding what it was inside me that was blocking me from living on a spiritual basis. And the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps outlined in the book were absolutely, and the instructions that were in the book were absolutely sufficient to do that. But I had to look at them from a completely different point of view and in a completely different way than the way that I had. And I had to start paying attention to the way that my alcoholic addiction was showing up in my consciousness today, not the way it had showed up in some time in the past. And I started looking at where my powerlessness existed right now and where my unmanageability was here today. And that has continued to be necessary for me. So it took an entire reworking of the language and approach and concepts around the 12 steps so that I wasn't talking about something that used to happen to me anymore. I was talking about something that happens to me right now. And I was talking about something that is urgent and necessary today, not something that I got over. I'm not better from this. I have a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of a spiritual condition, which I have almost no vision of. I'm incredibly bad at evaluating my spiritual condition. I always think my spiritual condition is fine. I just don't have the ability to understand when my spiritual condition is off. I actually have it completely backwards and ends me up in this place where my life is actually unworkable and intolerable. So I believe the ingredients of an open-minded humility, willingness, and honesty never change. Whenever there's anything wrong in my life, that's what's missing. And I never think that's what's missing in my life. I never believe that what's wrong in my life is that I'm not open-minded or humble enough. I never think that what's missing in my life is that I need to be willing. And I never think that what's missing in my life is that I need to look honestly at what's going on with me. I almost always think there are circumstances and situations mainly having to do with someone else or something outside of me that needs to change in order for me to be okay. And that's a resentment, no matter what I call it. I stopped calling my resentments pretty quickly after my sobriety once I realized I wasn't supposed to have them. I'm so interested in being right and looking good that I just stopped having resentments. Right. And the truth was, I never stopped having resentments. They just got much more sophisticated, and then they were much more difficult for me to get rid of because I was holding on to them as if my life depended on them, because it did. And I needed to defend them in a way that I would no longer tell myself I had resentments. I would just tell myself that these were the circumstances and these were the way things were. So now I write inventory that looks much more like this is what's true about the world, but I know it's a resentment because I want it to be different. Anything that I want to be different about the world is a resentment. And those are the places that I can, that's the way I can look at my life in a way that I get to how I'm playing God today. I play God today by wanting things to be different than they are, so I'll be safe. And I try to change things in the world so they'll be different than they are, so I can keep myself safe. And it never works. It always makes the things that I'm afraid of worse. I bring the things that I'm afraid of into existence by trying to keep them from happening. I hide from who I am. I abandon myself. I abandon the child inside me, this boy whistling in the dark, trying to pretend things are okay. I abandon that person inside me, telling myself I need to be somebody other than who I am, running away from the truth about my existence, trying to pretend to put on a show for the people around me so that they'll take care of me in ways that I'll be okay. And I'll be able to think about myself in a way that I'll be able to get up in the morning tomorrow and not kill myself. I didn't really know that was what was going on, but it was been going on with me my whole life. And the only thing that allows me to show up in the world is faith and reliance on a power greater than myself, to know that what's waiting for me when I show up in the world as the person that God created is actually the loving hand of God and not a fate worse than death. There's a part inside of me that believed if I ever showed up as I really was, a fate worse than death was waiting for me, because that was as always what had been there for me when I showed up that way. So I invite you to work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, as if what's going on with you today is what will kill you. If you suffer from alcoholic addiction to anything, I'm not going to die of alcoholism I had a long time ago. I'm going to die of the alcoholic addiction I have right now. So I hope that was useful. I think I'm probably about, is that time. That felt like about time for me. How am I doing on time?
30 seconds.
Yeah, I have a good internal clock for 20 minutes. Okay, well, that's good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for inviting me out. Carol invited me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here. Please feel free to get in touch with me or look me up if you have any questions about anything I said. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mike, for speaking today. It was great. I'm going to stop the recording.